In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When God the Father created man in the perfection at the very beginning, he placed him into a garden paradise. We heard about that last week in the Old Testament reading. And of course, you biblically astute types who might be here, who might remember your Sunday school stories, that kind of thing, or have read it for yourself, you might recall that there were two trees in the center of the garden. There was a tree of whose fruit gave eternal life, and there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil whose fruit gave knowledge of evil to those who already had the knowledge of good, because everything was perfect. Everything was good. They knew full well about good, but by eating of that tree, they would then learn about evil. And of course, the problem with knowing about evil is that evil steals away your innocence. Evil makes you less than you were before. Knowing about evil breaks something that you can't get back. And the only good that usually comes from knowing about and experiencing evil is a resolve to protect others from that evil, a resolve to heal those who have been broken by it, thus giving life to people where there was death and darkness in their lives. But while you may realize that the evil that you've come to know is wrong, you'll find yourself strangely attracted to it, won't you? I mean, after all, that's how you came to know about evil in the first place, by doing it. And so, having done it once, you'll find yourself, no matter what you resolve in your heart or your mind, you'll find yourself doing it again and again. And thus, as Jesus said, by their fruit you will know a tree. Now, trees can all look the same on the outside, but you might not know what's going on inside a tree. You might not know that a tree is infested by disease or bugs or sin. But the fruit of an infested tree helps to reveal the problem of what's going on inside that tree, the rottenness within. Just as what comes out of someone's mouth shows the pain or the sorrow or the anger, the wickedness, the delusions, or the attitudes of a person that you might not realize simply by looking at them. Those words that you and I speak are a fruit, in a sense, of our lives, but they will also bear fruit in the lives of other people as well, as those words that you and I speak either tear people down or lift people up. And so your fruit shows you. Your outward actions and your words reveal what's going on in your heart. And the problem with this truth of Jesus our Lord is that our words and our actions, our fruit, they place all of us into one of two categories. You are either in the category of the bad, incurably rotten tree, or you're in the category of the good tree. And that's a problem. Because no matter how hard I try, my fruit is pretty rotten. My love for other people is neither pure, nor is it consistent or constant. It's sputtering and fitful at best. It's irritable. It's resentful. It insists on its own way. It is arrogant and rude, and it keeps score. And that's for those who I actually claim to love. But of course, there are many people in my life who I have very little love for, or no love for, people whom, when I'm around them, I grit my teeth and I try to keep my head down so that I don't haul off and clock them with my fist or my sarcasm or my disdain. And maybe you're kinder than I am. It might be. But even if you are, you and I all know that every single one of us have all manner of virtueless vices that seize hold of our hearts, whether it be things like vanity or laziness or apathy or rage or lusts of one sort or another, whether it be pride or arrogance or a judgmental spirit. And so you and I know that our fruit, our words, our actions show what's in our hearts. And so what does my fruit say about me? It reveals my heart. It reveals that there is a lack of love or patience or humility or kindness or goodness or self-control and the like. And that means that my fruit convicts me of being one of those rotten, useless trees. And left to my own devices, that also means that me, your pastor, I will be a false prophet. And so beware. Beware of me, as Jesus said. Test what I say and know the good fruit. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Know what is good about the Lord. Know that His goodness is revealed on the cross of Jesus Christ, His Son, in His mercy toward sinners. His mercy toward you and me. His mercy toward all of us whose hearts are rotting within us. And so thanks be to God that I am not left to my own devices, that you are not judged on your own merits or by the fruit of your mouth or the purity of your heart. For the heart of man is deceitful and incurably wicked, God says. It lies to us so that we don't even know our own errors or how twisted we actually are. Have you ever come face to face somehow through a situation where you had no idea that what you were doing was having this kind of an impact on the people around you? And when you suddenly realized, oh man, I've been that full of pride or arrogance or I've been lying to myself, it just crushes you with guilt and shame. We don't even know our own errors. And so beware then of all prophets. Beware of your own heart. Beware and watch the fruit of every voice that speaks to you, whether it's from within or without. For there is only one man who lived and did the will of his Father perfectly. There's only one man whose words, therefore, can be trusted, whose fruit gives life. He himself became that lost tree of life from the garden when he allowed himself to be hung on a dead tree, taking the evil that's in my heart and yours on himself and paying its cost, receiving sin's wages in himself and dying for it. And when he was finished, he prophesied, he spoke this. He said, "It is finished. Sin is done. Death's power is broken." For when he gave up his ghost, committing his spirit to his Father, death's power was broken. And death, our ancient foe, became, for those of us who trust in Christ, it became a doorway to his Father's presence. And that dead tree with that dead man hanging on it bore the fruit of life from which you and I can eat his crucified body and blood and have eternal life. For that man and his flesh and blood are no longer dead. For that man rose just as he said he would, just as he prophesied. And so his words that he speaks, they are life to you. They bear in you the fruit of faith in Him unto eternal life. And that means that I can only be a true prophet if I speak of Him and His words. His word which forgives you your sins. His word which relieves you of your rotting deadness within. Which take the guilt and the shame of who you are and who you have been off of you and place it on Him. He already did it 2,000 years ago on a cross, and you and I receive it again today in our hearing His word. And this day, we saw that miracle of death and life once again. We saw the rotting spiritual deadness we are all born in. We saw it being killed in the waters of baptism. And we saw a good tree that bears good fruit, a good heart that clings to Jesus and hopes on Him. We saw that placed in Edwin today. Now, like all trees, all good trees of faith, his new heart will need to be tended. It'll need to be nourished. He will need to hear Jesus' forgiving word and His grace again and again, and ultimately he'll need to come to receive the New Testament in Jesus' blood, not just once, not just the first time, but again and again, over and over again. For the heart of man is desperately wicked. And why in the world, here's related to this notion about the heart of man being wicked. Why do you think horror movie franchises have been able to make like 10 and more movies that are all the same story? Well, I would suggest to you one of the reasons why they can do it, other than the fact that they'll continue to make money so they'll do it. Other than that, one of the reasons why they can do that is because it taps into a truth that you and I live day by day, where the evil, undead, rotting, zombie heart of mankind comes back again and again, and it needs to be put down again and again. It needs to be drowned each day in the waters of holy baptism as you return in faith to Him who feeds you His life by His promise of forgiveness and His own life-giving body and blood, the fruit of that tree of life. And this, then, is why false prophets always emerge from within the church, not outside of the church, but from within it, because every single one of us Christians is rotting from the inside. And we have to be renewed each day in Christ Jesus by turning away from our inward rottenness and remembering each day that you have been baptized into Christ Jesus. You need to feed yourself on His Word from which His Spirit flows. You need to receive His body and blood often, for you have been grafted into Him. You're a part of Him. His life is in you and your life is in Him. And that means that holy baptism then is not just a one-time event. It's an ongoing reality that permeates who you are. Now, there's an ancient pastor of the church back from the 200s, a guy named Tertullian, who said this about baptism. He said, "We little fish, like our fish, Jesus Christ." And of course, fish in Greek is an acronym. You see those fishes on people's bumpers? There's this whole legend about how people would trace that fish sign, and it was an early sign of Christianity because the letters of the Greek word fish spell out Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. It's an acronym. And so that's what Tertullian's talking about here. We little fish, like our fish, Jesus Christ, are born in water. And it is only by remaining in water that we are safe. Now, you guys all know, especially in this neck of the woods, you all know what happens to a fish when you take it out of water, right? It's not going to last very long. It dies. And so you take a Christian out of Jesus. You take a Christian out of his baptism. What's going to happen to that Christian? That Christian's going to die. It's going to go back to being a rotten, no good wild tree fit for chopping down and burning, whose words and actions will not give eternal life, but rather will give death. But in Christ Jesus, you are a good tree. You are a branch of the tree of life, bearing good fruit unto salvation. For you are in Him, and He is in you, and He is life. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.